Yo, what's goody spare in the building? Thanks for tuning in to Queen Talk, everyone. Today's special guest is Hector Rivas.
Yeah. That's right.
Were you expecting me to get it wrong?
I actually kind of was. Usually people get it wrong.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Will you like to introduce yourself to everybody, please?
Yes. So, my name is Hector. I am 25. I am Latino. I am a bisexual man, and my pronouns are he, him. I'm so sorry. Dang, I am so sorry.
It's okay.
That was so bad.
So, where are you from, though?
I am from Los Angeles, California. I was born in 98. Moved over here to Wichita, I believe I was 6.
Okay.
So, I believe it was around 2000 and, I don't know, 2004, maybe 2005. Moved here for family, and it was cheaper to live here, so, yeah.
So, did you move by yourself, or you moved with, like, your whole family came down?
Yeah, my whole family, my dad, my mom, and it was just me. I was an only child back then.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, you're the oldest then?
I'm actually not the oldest. The oldest is my brother. His name is Ulfran, and he lives in Guatemala, and he is 28.
Okay, nice. So you said you moved to Wichita just because you had family here in Wichita?
Yeah, all of our family was here. We were kind of just over there in California alone,
mm-hmm.
and it was just so expensive. I think my mom said that our rent was around, I kid you not, I think she said like $1,500, and it was just a single bedroom apartment, super small, so it was just too expensive to live over there.
Yeah, the fact that was that price in 2004 and 5. That's like doubled or tripled right now.
Yeah, and that's wild.
Yes, it is. So what was your life like growing up here in Wichita?
So my life was kind of, growing up was kind of okay, I would say. As normal as it could be, I would say. I was a only child, like I said, back then. But in the neighborhood that I grew up in called Plainview, we actually had all my cousins living there with us,
nice.
Basically around the area. It was like walking distance. So I had a pretty normal childhood, I would say. Of course, there's those bumps and those, you know. But pretty good, I would say.
Nice. So did you see like a lot of Hispanic people growing up in Wichita? Were you like around, like besides your family, like mm-hmm. was it a big community here in Wichita?
Yes, I would say it was pretty big because in Plainview, it's actually the majority is Hispanic.
Okay.
All the kids that are around in Plainview actually go to Colvin Elementary, and we all grew up together, and we're all just, just populated by Hispanics. So
yeah.
Everyone spoke Spanish, which was pretty good for me because that's all I spoke back then.
Okay.
So yeah.
Nice. So was there anybody that identified as LGBTQ in your family?
In my family, no. Not that I was aware of at the time. For my family and my other family, like, because you know you have your direct family, then you have like kind of your indirect family. It was kind of frowned upon to be queer or a part of the LGBT Q+. So... not to my knowledge, I don't think so, no.
What things did you see or hear growing up that made you aware that it wasn't okay in that community?
It was kind of my dad. So my dad was kind of this whole macho man kind of man.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always say, like, none of my kids are going to walk funny. And when he said that, that meant, like, none of them are going to be bi or gay or queer in any way. And so that was kind of, like, a huge tell of, like, oh, it's not okay for mm-hmm. me to do that or for me to be that. I would say my dad.
Okay. Yeah. So what gave you the courage? When did you come out?
So I came out, and it's kind of funny because I actually knew that I was bisexual at a young age. Or at least I knew I was attracted to men.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was about 22. So it was literally just like 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so I came out actually through social media, like okay. everybody else does, you know. It was kind of the like the trend back then, but I just felt like I was ready. I was just living too much of a lie kind of thing, and mm-hmm. I was just ready to just be myself and accept myself for who I was.
Yeah.
Or who I am, sorry. But yeah.
So when you heard like your dad's remarks, did you feel different, like younger? What's like your earliest memory? What is your earliest memory of you knowing that you liked men or boys?
I honestly want to say it's kind of like the most basic I knew I liked men stories, which is like going to Walmart and seeing the underwear. Like okay. the men wearing the underwear. And I feel like everyone says that. Or it's like the men in the magazines or in like the football games or whatever. But I remember going to Walmart and being like, Mom, I need new underwear. Even though I didn't need it, yeah. I just wanted to go look at the guys. So it was just, that's when I knew that I did like men as well. As well as, I think I was maybe 12 when I got my very first crush on a guy.
Okay.
And it was at school when I was like, well, that's kind of different. But it kind of also helped me realize that maybe I am. Maybe I do like, you know, maybe I do like men. But
yeah. yeah. So at 12 was your earliest memory of having a crush
mm-hmm.
on a boy, and 22 was when you openly said it. So at like at 12 and between 12 and 22, was there a time that you were acting on those feelings at all?
Of course, yeah. I mean, as soon as I turned 18, I remember downloading Grindr, of course, like every other guy, or you know. And I remember going on dates with guys, but being like, you can't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Like, no one can find out about me and you going on this date or, you know, whatever. And I also grew up in a very Christian home back then okay. as well. And so I remember that going to church and having a youth pastor that also liked men, but we weren't able to talk about it. And we weren't able to act upon it. And so,
so
I think that's when I was acting upon it, I guess.
So your youth pastor was openly into men, or was this like a rumor around town type thing?
So it was a rumor around town kind of thing, until one day he just told me.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure he told me because he also figured out that I was as well.
Okay.
I mean, because I feel like, for myself, I can't speak for others, but I had really big tails. Of, like, me liking men as well. And, you know, like, how everyone has, or everyone would stereotype men that were queer. And I would do some of those things, and so people would just assume that I was. And so I think that's where it came from. Sorry, I forgot the question.
No. So I was just wondering, like, your youth pastor openly came to you and said...
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. At what age were you in this?
I want to say I was... 19,
okay.
I'm gonna say. We met at Donut Hole.
Okay.
And then he told me about it. And so yeah, that's when I started wondering about myself even more too, because me growing up in a Christian home, being like, that's frowned upon, you
mm-hmm.
can't do that. And then finding out that the person that I'm supposed to look up to was also, you know, queer. And so that also kind of gave me a little bit of small courage as to, like, maybe it's time for me to do something about it.
Right.
You know? So, yeah.
Do you think your coming out has impacted your relationship with God or religion?
I will say I don't really practice anymore because I do believe that it puts such a negative, like, feeling towards it for me to have a relationship with God. I will say I do believe in something. I don't know what I believe in, though,
mm-hmm.
at the moment. So in a way, yeah, kind of did.
So you would say, so you aren't practicing faith or anything like that anymore. Like,
yeah.
Do you feel like once you came out, you just immediately say, why do you feel like it personally? Is it the outside that impacts you, or do you have those beliefs within yourself? Like, you're not wanted by God.
I think it happened. I think it kind of like the second thing you said of like not being wanted by God,
mm-hmm.
because growing up in that congregation where even if anyone had a little like idea of you being queer or gay or whatever, it really made everyone kind of distance themselves from you and not really want to talk to you or hang out with you or whatever. And so I feel like it did really make me feel like God just didn't want me anymore. Because it felt like if they don't want me and they're supposed to be living this holy life of like acceptance and love, but they're not giving me that, it made me feel like God must not want me to then. Yeah. You know?
I had that feeling too, like, I do believe in God and mm-hmm. I am a Christian, and I've been going back to church regularly this year, and I did have like a strained relationship too, just like feeling that way, like, man, why am I like this? Mm-hmm. Am I not supposed to be like this? But then just like building my own relationship with God and mm-hmm. no, He loves me. Like there's hate all over this world. But I just felt like for me personally, like, you're not going to make me not believe in God or steer my path away just because of your hatred. Yeah. So
that's sense.
Yeah. It has been like really hard to navigate too. Just cause even like the church I go to, I don't really know if they, accept who I am. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy like the word and the message at this church, but that topic hasn't come up thus far.
Okay.
But we'll see down the road though. Yeah. But it is difficult just like finding a place too, though, mm-hmm. within that, navigating it.
Yeah.
Well, you said that, your youth pastor, you also said that you're bisexual. So you came out as bisexual at 22.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And social media, what did that look like? Was it, you just like wrote a Facebook status or?
I did funny story is, or funny thing is, supposedly my dad still doesn't know. I never told him.
Right. As of today, right now.
As of today, he doesn't know. Yeah. Because he said some ill things about, like I said, if one of his kids were gay or bi or whatever, that he would do some horrid things. And so I have never been given the opportunity to actually tell him.
Uh-huh.
And so when I actually came out, I had to block half of the family on all my social media. Like half of my cousins, half of my aunts, half of my uncles, half of my everything. Because I knew that if I, in a sense, protected myself from them, that he would not find out. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I mean, he still hasn't found out.
You really think he doesn't know, though?
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, I feel like everyone knows, but because whenever I came out, everyone was like, I knew it. And I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I'm pretty sure, like, he knows. He must know. I mean, I never brought a girlfriend around until I was, like, 22. I never talked about girls, really, either. Because I'm not like him where he's just like, oh, look at her, you know, look at her cleavage, look at her ass, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry, can I say that?
Yeah, you
know. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I should have. Yes, yes,
you
yes.
I mean?
So PG-13. PG-13.
Yeah, okay. So, like, I never really did that as, you know, those macho men should do.
I wouldn't say should do.
I mean, do.
Yes. That they do,
yes.
But
yes.
Some right. are a little excessive. Some are a little excessive.
Yes,
correct. But are you that way towards men? Do you like?
Oh, so since I was hiding myself from everyone for the world, I have been known to be a little bit out of pocket when it comes to that. Because it's like I hid myself for so long. Like I'm not gonna hide my feelings or my thoughts anymore.
Yeah,
you know, I'm gonna be a very outgoing person, except for my dad part, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say I do sometimes. Yeah.
So back to the status. So you blocked half of your family on mm-hmm. On the social media, and the status was like what?
Basically like, hey, I think it's time for me to just finally put all the rumors to rest. The reason why I said that is because growing up all the way through elementary, middle, and high school, I actually grew up with the exact same people. Because
okay.
like I said, we all grew up in Plainview. Our base school was Colvin. Our next school was actually Jardine, but I ended up going to a different school because I wanted to branch out kind mm-hmm. of thing. And then high school, I mean, I saw all them again. So it was okay. like, dang, like I meant to like kind of bypass you guys and like start something new. But here I am back at like the start in a sense.
Yeah.
So it was just like, hey, it's time for me to just finally put all of it to rest. I didn't want to say this until I was pretty sure of myself, which I will say from the age of 16 to when I came out at 22, I still was uncertain. I still was like trying to pray the gay away kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I struggled with that for a while. So I finally said, it's time for me to just accept who I am. I know who I am and I love who I am as well. And so all I said is, I don't owe this to anyone. I feel like no one should be, how to explain it? Like, the only benefit is me finally being able to be me. And
yeah.
Nobody else should benefit from this. And so I just want to say that I am bisexual. I've known for a while now, I feel like, but I haven't been able to actually put it into words or actually talk about it openly. But I think it's time for me to just be myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So being bisexual, do you feel like it's hard for you? Like, have you tried to date women?
Oh, gosh, it's so hard because I feel like men don't want to date. Men are kind of more of like, I want an open relationship or something casual, which is great, which is fine. It's just not my cup of tea kind of thing. I'm more of a, when I'm invested in you, I'm invested in just you, you know?
Yeah.
No shade to any poly people, you know?
Yeah.
But
you like what you like.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to like yuck your yum, you know, as much as I hope you don't do it to me either. But also, dating men that believe or that I tell I am bisexual are always like, that's not a thing. Like, most of the men have been like that. Like, it's not a thing. You just like guys.
Yeah.
And same thing with girls. With girls, it's like, oh, yeah, like, you know, just want to let you know, like, I am bisexual, blah, blah, whatever. They're like, oh, so you sleep with men. Like, I don't want that. You know? And so they kind of feel like, or it kind of seems like they're kind of fearing of it. And so it has been a little bit hard to be able to date men or women.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So how do you navigate those relationships? Personally, for me, like, I've kind of been on the opposition of that too. Like, I identify as lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
So like, but I only seem to find myself with women that have only been with men, and I'm like their first lesbian or their first girl. So it's kind of weird, but I don't know. How do you navigate those relationships with being the person that's bisexual? Like, because I haven't really judged bisexual people. I've always thought you like one more than the other, which isn't always the case. Like, you could 50-50. But what would you say to people that feel that way, that it is one way or the other, like, it's, or tell people it's not a thing?
So it's kind of like, if you think about other decisions you're making, like, for example, if, let's say, you go to the grocery store, you get five different kinds of cereal. I don't know, you have Trix, or you have Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, or what are they called? Reese's Puffs?
Yeah,
Reese's
Puffs.
Trix, you know, all the other kinds. And one day you wake up and you're like, I want Trix today.
Yeah.
You know, and the next day you're like, oh, you know what, I actually want Cocoa Puffs today. So it kind of just differs. I would say some people can be 50-50, but for me, I think it just changes. Sometimes I'm more into men, sometimes I'm more into women.
Gotcha.
It kind of just depends on how I'm feeling. Like, kind of just the mood.
Yeah. I've never even thought about that. Like, sometimes I am only feeling men, or sometimes I am only feeling women. That makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whichever cereal brand you're waking up to. Whichever one I want.
Exactly.
The same cup of milk, but, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Whichever one. Yeah, that makes total sense, for sure. So, your relationships, your family. So, you blocked half of your family on the Facebook, but there was there other family members that you kept on there that you let them know your story, or?
Yeah, so the other half, which I believe is the more accepting half, they loved me for who I was. They accepted me for who I was. They have supported me. They have been there for me. Mostly it is my cousins. The older generations, which is what I call my aunts, my uncles, or my grandpa, grandma, they don't support it. Like, if they knew, they just try to pray it away for me. They'll try to, you know, honestly probably put me somewhere. Like, they are very, how do you say it? like just not accepting of it.
Yeah.
But like my cousin, I have a cousin named Anna. She was also very like that, but now she's kind of been having a change in faith and a change of this and being able to really realize that love is just love. Like, yeah. If I love a man, I actually love this man, or, you know, whatever. She doesn't see it as like, I'm going to hell because I am, bisexual. My other cousin, actually, after I came out, she actually came out to me. And so I have felt like the only one for the longest.
Right.
And the outsider. And so I'm actually very happy now that I know that another cousin of mine, you know, is also queer. I'm also the very first one that had tattoos. Like,
okay.
I'm the very first one to get them because back then tattoos were just, or not back then, but in my family, tattoos were just so frowned upon as well. Like, why are you going to mess up your temple? Or why are you going to, you know?
Okay.
So they would bring up, you know, Christianity into it again, or my faith, I mean. But yeah, the other half has been very supportive, which is why I didn't block them, because I knew that they would understand or love me or accept me. So, yeah.
So you said like your dad for sure doesn't know. What about your mother? Do you feel like did you tell your mom? Or?
Yeah, actually, I came out to my mom in a sense back in 2016. It was one day that my father and my mom had a issue. And she went to the store to go get something. And I remember just being in bed and just being like, feeling like I'm being closed in or feeling claustrophobic about my sexuality or the way that I felt about myself. That I decided to call her and I said, "Where are you?" And she said, "I'm on my way home. I'm by the Quick Shop." I was like, "Okay, can you wait for me at the hill?" In Plainview, there's like this really big hill where people usually go to like, sled, you know, whatever they do in the winter stuff. I don't go out in the winter. So I wouldn't know.
I don't blame you.
So I told her to meet me there. And it was kind of like one of those movie moments because it was raining and it was cold. And I jumped in her car and I just hugged her. And she was like, "What's wrong?" And I said, I don't understand how to tell you this. I don't know how to tell you this. I don't even know exactly what I am yet either. But then at that time, I was... old was I? I was like 18 and I had my very first like kind of relationship with a man and I actually liked it. I ended up being like, wow, like I actually like this. I feel like love. I feel accepted. And so I finally just told my mom, I was like, "I am bisexual. Like I like men. I like women." I was like, "I know this is something that you don't know really much of. Mm-hmm. But that's just how I am. That's who I am. And I hope that you can accept me. And if not, like, I don't know what to do." So, yeah, I just felt very closed, very claustrophobic. And it just felt so good to finally get it off my chest and tell someone. And especially my mom. Me and my mom are, like, best friends. Like, tell each other everything. I am there for her as much as she's there for me. Like, just love everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, my mom knows. My siblings know as well. He's the only one that doesn't know, apparently or supposedly, is my dad.
What was your mom's reaction when you did tell her in that moment?
So she just hugged me. Mm-hmm. She actually started crying as well, which is for a different reason, which I will get into.
Yeah.
But started crying. She said she loved me. She said that it was okay, not to worry about it. Plot twist to a year later, my mom pulled me aside and she apologized to me. And I was like, "I don't understand why. Like, what's going on?" And then my mom was like, "When you told me that you were bisexual, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to accept you. I knew I loved you because you were my son, but I didn't know how to be there for you," mm-hmm. in a sense, because I don't understand.
Yeah.
And so for a little bit, I kind of just distanced myself from you because I just didn't know what to do. And I didn't know how to, like I said, support you. And she said, "I had been a terrible mother about that, and I should have just been open about it." And I was like, "It's okay. As much as it took me time to finally accept myself and love myself for who I was and finally just say it, I didn't expect for you to just be like, okay with it."
Right,
you
know? Yeah.
I also expected you to also process through it, mm-hmm. think about it, and also put your own feelings into it. I know that it is my own sexuality, and it's, you know, just for me. But as much as it is for me, like, I feel like it also affects you or your life. And so I really just wanted you to also process it. And so now, I mean, fast forward to, well, like 6 years, 7 years, loves me, supports me as much as any mother would, I feel like. And yeah, it's been pretty good. I remember the very first interaction we had was at Dylan's, and it was around Thanksgiving. I went to Dylan's, and I was like, I asked this, I don't know, poultry guy, I guess is what they call him or something.
The meat guy?
Yeah, the meat. Yeah, the meat guy. I was like, hey, do you have any extra chickens in the bag? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not seeing them anywhere. Because we're not turkey people. We're chicken people. Okay. Like, turkey is just too much. It's too, if you cook it wrong, it's just too hard. So we're just chicken people. And so he went to the back, and my mom was like, oh my gosh, like, he likes you. Because he's going to the back to look for chicken. And I was like, Mom, you are just being... You just know.
That's cool.
Not it.
Yeah, that's cool that your mom just like expressed that mm-hmm. moment with you.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that she had did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mentioned two things that I think are very important to note that not everybody gets. And one was like you giving your mom, parent, whoever you tell, giving them that time to process. Mm-hmm. You just told them something because, like you said, we processed ourselves for so many years
mm-hmm.
with getting used to who we are.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we can't expect them to just be like, okay, this is what it is. Get used to it.
Yeah.
Love it or hate it, which that's very true. And then, like, another thing that you said is, like, how your mom came back to you and just, like, had that conversation with you and was mm-hmm. able to just, like, let you know really how she felt in that moment. Mm-hmm. I still haven't had a conversation with my mom, like, how she felt in the moment or after, like,
mm-hmm.
what her side of things was when I came out. So, that was good that you had that conversation with your mom. And then mm-hmm. even till this day, like, you're cool with her. Just,
yeah.
She's joking with you about it in the yeah. grocery store. And obviously, she's kept that from your dad, and
mm-hmm.
you guys have built even a better relationship from it.
Yeah, I mean, I know that 2 years ago my parents actually split up,
mm-hmm.
you know, just due to, I don't know what it was, mm-hmm. but they split up. So they actually split separately now.
Okay.
So it's actually a lot easier because they don't really communicate anymore, which is fine. I feel like there's no need to communicate anymore if they mm-hmm. don't feel like the need to do it either. And I feel like that also helped me with my relationship with my mom because me and my dad just, we really don't have the best relationship.
Okay.
We don't really click together. We don't really, like, my mommy will, like, every single one of her birthdays, I take her out somewhere to eat, you know, mm-hmm. I take her to get some dessert, get some drinks afterwards. Mm-hmm. With my dad, it's just, like, happy birthday. Because, like, we just don't connect,
yeah.
you know?
So you don't even, like, do you speak to him? Like, do you have any relationship with him?
I do now. So part of my childhood was, or most of it, was also kind of negative because of my father,
mm-hmm.
and so it's kind of taken me a while to also process through all of that and finally be able to pursue some sort of relationship with him.
Right.
So I do see him like once a month. He used to love when I made you know, the little box cakes at Dylan's or Walmart, the little Betty Crocker cake mixes. So every winter he would have me go to Dylan's, get one of those, make it for him, and he just eat it with warm milk. And so this is like the first year that I just decided to do it on my own and just make him one and just go and take it to him. Because I feel like at the end of the day, he is my dad. I should try to have some sort of relationship with him.
Yeah.
At least give it a try because I can say that I gave it a try. You know?
Right, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, now we're kind of okay. Slowly getting there.
Do you feel like you have to be a certain way around not just him, but just like certain people? You said your demeanor. Does your demeanor change in certain groups and stuff? Like,
I would say yeah. With my dad, I have to be straight acting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to like just not really be myself, even though there isn't really anything there's not really anything telling, I guess, if that makes sense. And so it's kind of just really short conversation. There really isn't much depth to it. So I just have to just pretend, I guess, that I'm not queer.
You work in the corporate world, right?
I work at a bank.
Do you feel like you have to be straight like in those settings too? Like, is there certain aspects of that do you feel like that way?
No, not really. I feel like my job is pretty accepting. I've never really had to hide anything. The only thing I've had to hide was like my tattoos, just because it was like seen as non-professional. But they're pretty supportive. They have a whole group of like diversity or, you know, LGBTQ. Okay, I need to get that right. I don't want to offend anybody.
No, yeah, like I feel like when I have these guests come on, I'm not the only one, and you're not the only one that. It's a big community, like, yeah. And there's so many more things that are coming to light that it's all so new to everybody. Like,
yeah, that is true.
It's so I feel like if we mess up, we apologize and like learn from it. And but yeah, LGBTQ plus.
Okay, LGBTQ plus. Sorry, on the record. I don't know.
All good.
But yeah, I feel like my job is pretty supportive, and I don't have to be straight acting with them. I can just be myself.
That's good. Yeah. Do you feel like there's any other spaces, like on your day-to-day regular life, that you have to be straight-like?
To be quite honest, no. The only other times that I feel like I have to be would be, like I said, meeting up with my father, talking to him, you know, whatever. But also whenever there's, like, a family party and everyone's there, even the family that I blocked, which is really awkward, to be honest. Because they're like, you took me off social media. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I never really told them.
Sorry, not sorry.
Excuse me. Exactly. So I will just have the awkward conversations with them of like, yeah, I'm sorry. I just, you know, whatever. And so I have to be straight acting with them because they, like, those, that part of the family just does not accept any LGBTQ plus.
Yes. Got it.
So, yeah, I think those are the only two scenarios I actually have to act straight in a sense. Even though, I don't know. Yes.
So what about your siblings? They know, you said, how do they change towards you? Are they okay with your sexuality, or how's that like?
Yeah, no, they've been really supportive. They have never really been negative towards anything at all. They actually have their own friends that are now coming out as well. I mean, my siblings are still small, like, or I say younger. My brother is 16. My sister is 12, but they're very supportive. They just love me for me, which I'm really happy for.
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. What do you feel like has been the hardest transition for you when you came out?
I think the hardest transition for me would have been like, so like I said, going back to the whole church thing, having to go from church boy to like a worldly boy is what they would call them, or call us that were, you know, queer or that were leaving the church for whatever reason, or were drinking or were having tattoos. They were considered like the worldly people. And so I think going from having my faith and having, you know, a relationship with God for, I mean, since I was a kid up until I was like 20, like I think I was like 20 or 19 when I really actually left. And so I feel like that was the hardest, because it was like I didn't really feel the need to pray anymore. I didn't feel the need to like listen to Christian music, or like, you know, even try to pursue a relationship with God. And so it was very different, because it was now me having to discover a whole new person in a sense.
Yeah.
And so I think that was the hardest transition. I know it seems like it could be easy, but like I had a really good, I want to say I had a really good relationship with God back then, if that makes sense. And so yeah, I think that was the hardest for me.
Do you foresee yourself like building that relationship again with God?
I think I do. It's just kind of hard for me personally. I think a lot of people frown against it, I guess, or frown upon it. So yes and no. I honestly just don't know.
Yeah.
But
that's fair. Do you feel like when you came out, did you get any hatred?
Did I get any hatred? I honestly want to say no. I want to say that I felt really supported. I felt loved. I had so many responses to it, you know, to my Snapchat and my Instagram. And I just had a lot of, like, I love you for who you are. Yeah. And I don't really think I had any hatred. I did have those individuals that did block me. I mean, which is fine. You know, whatever. They have their own beliefs as much as I have my own. And so I guess maybe that could count as hatred, but at the same time, I don't think so. I don't know. So,
how did that make you feel, like, to get that negative? Did it bother you? Were you like, this is me, love me or hate me? I think
for a bit, it kind of did bother me. Mm-hmm. Just for, like, a little bit. I'm not going to say it hurt me for a while or something, but I think it just hurt me a little bit just because, like, I had formed relationships with these people.
Mm-hmm.
I had formed a friendship. I had formed memories with them. You know, one of my best friends actually kind of distanced themselves from me until coming back, like, years later and be like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I should have just been there for you. I should have accepted you. I should have just, you know, whatever. But, like, going back to the whole processing thing, like, as much as it took me to process that, like, I can't really hold it against anyone for also needing time to process it, you know, right. Depending on whatever time it is or how long of a time frame it is, I'm sorry. So, yes and no. I'm gonna go back to no.
Okay.
Because I don't think I got that much hatred or anything negative.
That's good. So do you feel, how is it like being a part of the LGBTQ and a Hispanic man? Do you feel like you faced a lot of barriers?
I think in the beginning I did. I feel like now in, like, today's age, people are becoming a little bit more accepting.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like all the other generations, like the older generations, like my father or my grandpa or, you know, whoever's around that age, those people are sometimes still not accepting of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that was kind of a tough barrier because, like I said, in my culture, supposedly, we're supposed to be, like, the most manly men, mm-hmm. and we're supposed to be providing for a woman, you know, not providing for a man. And so I feel like those were kind of my barriers, is having to break through so many generational, I don't know how to explain them, but basically...
The beliefs and...
Yes, thank you. But yeah, I think that might have been, like, the toughest thing. But then once I started to accept myself for who I was and just being able to just learn different ways and just leaving those thoughts or those teachings, in a sense, in the past and just being able to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Now, you said it's hard for you to, like, date in this world. You said being bisexual. But do you feel like if you do or when you do find a boyfriend that you will be comfortable enough to even bring them around your family?
Certain family, yeah. Like my cousins, definitely. My mom, my siblings, definitely. I think that there's gonna come a day where I, as much as it took me to accept for me being bisexual, I was like also just accept myself and not really truly care about what anyone has to say. Yeah. Not that I do now, but it's still like my family and my dad. Like, one day I know that I will grow out of that and just be able to just be myself. And so I would say if I do get a boyfriend, I would be able to do that one day.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's anytime soon, unfortunately.
Yeah. So are you out dating? Like, what's your dating like? You said it's hard, but, like, what is it like for you?
So it's kind of difficult because when I start dating someone, I start to get very invested in them.
Mm-hmm.
I like to make sure that they feel supported and feel heard and feel, you know, comfortable. And so for me, it kind of takes a little bit longer to be able to really date someone.
Mm-hmm.
I think, well, my last girlfriend was back when I was 24. Was it 24 or 23? It was actually, like, the month that I came out. I believe the beginning of that month, we actually broke up. And so she didn't know that I was bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
I had told her that I had these feelings for men, and I kind of wanted to see what she would, like, you know, take from it. and she seemed to be actually accepting of it.
Okay.
But right now, I'm not really dating. I feel like I have so much going on right now that I'm not dating.
Do you feel like that's something that you have to express to, like, to a woman, I'm bisexual? Do you feel like you owe them that to say that?
It's not that I feel like I owe it to them or to a man either. Yeah. It's just that if we're getting invested in each other and you are starting to understand, or you're starting to know, like, what my favorite ice cream is, what my favorite, you know, meal is, or what my favorite movies are, whatever, and I leave out one of the biggest things about myself, I feel like it was just a waste of time. Because most of the time, or prior to that, I would get to know them, you know, whatever, and then, like, let's say 2 months pass, and then I'll just say, oh, I'm bisexual, I forgot to tell you that. Yeah. Which shouldn't take me that long, but I'll tell them that, and they'll be like, oh, I don't agree with that, or I don't believe that, you know? So I feel like I have to be upfront about it, because if I'm not, I'm just going to waste my time and waste their time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I don't want to do that to anyone, so.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. I, disclose everything, you know, while you're at the beginning. That does make sense to tell them. I was just wondering, like, have you felt like sometimes you don't need to express that side, or... Well, but it does make sense, because, like, if you're watching a movie, it's like, oh, he's cute. Aww. Oh, she's cute. What? Well, I feel like gay dudes, they say, like, she's cute all the time. But, like, if you were, like, oh, he's cute to your girlfriend, I feel like that would be... She would, like, be like, what? Or, and I just feel like a lot of men don't express that self in general, which straight men... But you think some dudes are, attractive.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't say it out loud. Like,
yeah.
You're definitely thinking, because people in general, like, I think dudes are attractive, but I'm not, like, sexually attracted to them. Mm-hmm. They're just like, oh, you're attractive, like, good looking man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I know we've all heard it before, but, like, just how I was explaining that whole thing about the cereals, and, you know, I feel like you hear, especially with bisexual men, like, sexuality is such a wide spectrum. Like, there's just so much. There's, you know, let's just say leaning to the left is man, leaning to the right is woman. Like, it's just, there's just so much. And in between those, there's just in between, you know.
Yeah.
There's, like, you know, people that are they them, or people that, you know, go in different, or have different beliefs, or different, you know. But, yeah, it's just such a spectrum that it's also, it's kind of weird, like you said, when men can find a man attractive, but not say it.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I feel like you're just, I mean, they're just words. You're not acting upon that, you know?
Right.
So, I will say I that was one of my, I guess, like I said, biggest tells, is that I would be like, ooh, you're pretty attractive, you know? And then my friends would be like, you like boys?
Yeah.
You know, like, it was just weird.
Yeah.
So,
And boys, little boys, like, middle school, high school, they're ruthless. They are really mean. Like, it is very... You can tell very quickly if they're not with it or not, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you feel like you hung out with, what was, like, your, were you, like, that, trying to be that macho man growing up that your culture wanted you to be? Or do you feel like you created your own lane growing up?
I think I created my own, because I know that it, like, the certain things that I was doing weren't macho men things. I didn't care.
What things do you...
So, for example, I feel like so many people stereotyped that men aren't supposed to, like, take care of their skin.
Mm-hmm.
I've been taking care of my face since I was, like a kid. Like, I like to make sure it looks good, looks clean. I want to make sure I smell good, make sure that I am looking, you know, okay, as best as I can. And I remember when one of my cousins from the other side, when they actually came over one time and saw me, like, doing all this stuff to my face, they're like, oh, you're gay. And it's just like, I'm just taking care of my face.
Yeah.
You know?
You should do it.
Exactly. You're looking crazy. I'm just kidding. But yeah, exactly. And so that was, like, something that people thought, or my family thought, was like, oh, you must be something else, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, was there any other things, like, today, men, I feel like, nowadays, like, they're getting the pedicures, they're getting the manicures, mm-hmm. like masculine, the macho men are doing that now.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's becoming a norm, which is really great. Like, take care of yourself. Like, you need to take care of yourself. Was there any other things that, like, you felt like you weren't being masculine enough?
I will say when I was about maybe like 9 or 10, my dad caught me several times playing with Barbies with my siblings or with my cousins, and he thought that that was the gayest thing ever. You like men should not touch Barbies, you know, which is like such a huge thing or such a like. I don't think it matters.
Yeah,
you know, it's just a toy.
Yeah.
But he thought that it was like the worst thing ever, and so he would like find them in my room and throw them away, or whatever. So I feel like that's another thing that my dad actually thought was like, he must be something else, and that's when he would like say like, my son will walk funny, and so yeah.
I don't feel like playing with toys or a certain toy is gonna make you less masculine when you grow up either. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and like I said, like today's age, it's becoming more known for like, I seen this thing, this meme going around a while ago, and it was like the cooking set or whatever, and it was like the cooking set for the little boy, and there was like, you want your son to know how to cook for his woman or partner just like growing up. Like, the woman doesn't have to be in the kitchen 24/7. Like, the gender roles that are put upon kids at such a young age, like, I don't see the reason for that. My friends really don't like when I make comments like that, though, too. I'm like, why do we have to have all this pink because she's a girl? Like, why does it just have to be pink?
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
It's, I don't know. I don't really try to, like, go against the grain. I'm just like, but why? Like, there's so many other colors. Like, you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
A color doesn't have to represent a gender.
Yeah, and that is very true. That's very, very true.
Like, clothes don't have to represent a gender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Going back to the color, I mean, I sometimes paint my nails.
Yeah.
And I remember I did it once in high school, and it was like, oh gosh, why are you doing that? You know? And it was just black.
Yeah.
And they were like, ooh, that's for girls. And I'm just like, bruh. Like, that's just, you know, I don't think that, like you said, wearing like traditionally women or girls' clothes is making you less masculine than what you are. You know,
yeah.
Whatever. Or painting your nails is either. So yeah, that makes sense.
So you think like, did you ever paint your nails again after that?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I paint them, like, whenever I just feel like it. I think, like, last weekend, I was like, I'm going to paint my nails this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, just paint them some random color or whatever. I think Halloween has really helped me actually be a little bit, like, push myself out of the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Because this year, I was actually 11 from Stranger Things. I don't know if you've seen
that
show.
Okay, I haven't seen it, but I'm familiar.
You're missing out. It's so good. It's so, so good.
I didn't get on the Stranger Things train.
But they're in the first season, I think it's like the first, second episode, she's wearing a pink dress and it goes down, and then she wears a blue bomber jacket and she wears these knee high socks, but I mean, I just wore them like kind of below the calf. And so I would have never been comfortable to do that
because
dresses are just for girls, you know?
Right.
And so Halloween has really helped me just express myself more and be able to paint my nails. Or, you know, like, I would have never dyed my hair because my dad was always like, that's for women.
Okay.
You just keep your natural hair color, you know. And so I just decided, I'm just going to dye my hair. So I dyed my hair silver, you know. So I am doing things that my dad didn't approve of a man doing. You know. And so I am now finally in that comfort zone of, like, I can wear a dress if I want to. I can wear a skirt if I want to, you know.
Right.
I can paint my nails. I can do my, you know, do my hair. So now I, you know, paint my nails on a random occasion, or it's a random day that I feel like painting my nails.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's good that you're able to express yourself in that way. And you said, like, in high school was, like, the earliest memory that you remember, like, starting to express yourself.
Yeah, I would say high school. I would say early high school, because I feel like I went through, like, a whole rebellious stage in, like, my sophomore year of high school, where I was like jipping class and like smoking cigarettes and like doing just rebellious things, to where I was like, I'm gonna paint my nails.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do this because that's what a rebel does. Yeah. Or whatever, which is really lame for me. But yeah, I would say that. And then I, you know, started becoming more closer to my faith and all, and I was like, I can't do that anymore, you know? Yeah. But yeah, I would say high school was like the first time that I was starting to express myself.
Nice. Yeah. So, as an adult, 22, because you came out when, like, you're able to go to the clubs and stuff like that, have you experienced a gay club?
I have. I will say I love Rain, but, I mean, Rain's a bar, but, you know.
Yeah.
I do love Rain, but it's just too crowded. I
don't really? Even
think, yeah. There's, have you ever been to Rain?
I have, but it ain't been crowded.
Oh. go during karaoke night, or go during Halloween night. There's no space.
What's the crowd look like? Is it diverse?
Yeah, it's pretty diverse. I would say now it is. Back in the day, I don't feel like it really was that diverse. But now you have people of every like color or shape, sizes, or you know, ethnicities or anything. And so, sexualities. You just meet a little of everything, and I do like that. XY is a little wild for me. XY is like my last stop. Like, yeah. I am already a little bit buzzed. Yeah. I am ready to just have a good time, dance it out, and then jump straight to go home.
You know? Yeah.
So, for me, XY is just like a 30-minute, maybe an hour stop. But yeah, experiencing...
That's
oh,
funny.
Gosh. But yeah, no, XY is like my last stop. Dance it out. Oh, you know what I like to do? I like to get a Malibu bucket. Have you seen those?
At XY?
At XY?
I haven't. Gone to XY too much. I mean, I have, but I don't like the music. So.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. Pretty weird sometimes.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I'd rather go to the straight clubs and get the music and
that
the dance
sense.
And the vibe
yeah.
than there and just stand there and be irritated that I'm listening to the techno all night.
That makes sense. Also, actually, funny thing about XY is... there's so many more straight men and straight women that go.
Yes.
And I think it's also just because it's free.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like it's a way of people just finally being accepting of themselves and just being like, I can't comment on a man if I'm a man, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so...
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Like, I feel like... And straight girls go there because they don't want to get hit on by...
Exactly, yeah.
...the dudes. Mm-hmm. They have... taking over XY for sure, but I'll have to check out Rain because I haven't done that spot yet. When it comes to your relationships with men, are you protective for the most part, Misha?
Oh yeah, I would say I am. Of course, it comes with age and experience.
Mm-hmm.
It is very important to have safe sex. I always say, which my friend used to say too to me, is there's no party without balloons, which is, you know, the same thing as a condom.
Yeah.
And so.
That's funny. That's a good one.
So always wrap it up, you know. I would say that me personally, yes, I believe in condoms and other contraceptives, yeah. And so, yes, I would say that with my, like, whenever I have intimacy with a man, I am as safe as I can.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn about safe sex growing up, or who taught you that?
So of course it was my mom. My mom was like, you know, if you're gonna be out there having fun, make sure you're careful.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you are wrapping it up, is what she would say. But I would say it was a huge experience because. When I was first, you know, when I was first, you know, having intimacy with a man or men, I would say it was a huge learning curve because there are so many men that are out there that are like, I don't wear condoms.
Mm.
It's only raw or nothing. I am clean. It's like the biggest thing. That a man could say to another guy, and it's just like, are you know, if you're on here, like, are you actually clean, you know, whatever. HIV status is I'm negative, you know. So it was a huge learning curve. I had to actually see through that. I had to find resources or find another way of learning about that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the huge I would say I got very educated on all this, going to Positive Directions here in Wichita.
Positive Directions?
Yeah, Positive Directions is a free HIV and STI testing place.
Okay.
Or, you know, what is it? Nonprofit or not for profit?
It's nonprofit.
Nonprofit? Okay. Yeah, so I mean, going there and like seeing all about PrEP, seeing all about condoms, seeing all about HIV, and like being able to have my questions answered
mm-hmm.
was a huge part of me learning how to have safe sex as well. Yeah. And so I think that has been a huge, huge help. I would say if you need to get tested or feel like you have to, I would go there. They're very supportive. Like I said, I learned a lot from them. So yeah.
Do you recall like learning about safe sex growing up?
Mm-hmm. I feel like I did learn about safe sex, but it was different because it was just safe sex with women.
Mm-hmm.
And the only concern that I had, or the only concern that my mom expressed to me, was getting a girl pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very different. There was mm-hmm. like, I feel like since my mom didn't really have like safe sex, like talk, you know, growing up or whatever. And so for her, it was just not me getting someone pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And so having to learn that is one of the outcomes of me having sex, you know, unprotective sex. But also now that I am sleeping with men, another outcome is I could run risk of catching like HIV or catching chlamydia or gonorrhea or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did learn about it, but I only learned half of it, I would say.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, growing up, I have been able to learn more about it. And yeah.
You recall ever seeing someone that identified as gay or lesbian, a part of the community growing up?
Growing up, I think one of like my high school teachers, there was like rumors of her being, you know, gay or being mm-hmm. lesbian. And so I think that's like the only really like real thing that stands out.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, before, like, I think I was in, I don't know, maybe I was just in high school when I started realizing that there was, like, a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And so, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't really think I had anyone that I knew was openly out or, you know, whatever.
Do you think you've seen, like, anyone, on, like, celebrity-wise, like, on the TV or anything like that? Or was just your one teacher?
Wow. Oh, okay, I remember now. I remember watching Teen Wolf growing okay. up. I remember watching Teen Wolf, and I forgot what his name was, but he was basically just covering up that he was queer, or maybe he just didn't know. I don't really remember anymore. It's been a while. But I think his name was Colton in real life. Colton Hayes, maybe? I don't know. But halfway through the show, he came out.
Okay.
And he was now having an open relationship with a man. And I remember just thinking, like, man, I wish I could do that. Like, I wish I could be openly out there and just being like, I like what, like, who I like or what I like. So I think that's another one. I can't think of another one, though.
What age was that?
Oh man, that was a long time ago. I think it was back in 2014, maybe 13. I could be wrong. Nobody quote me on that. But that means that I must have been, like, 13 or 14 as well. No, maybe 12.
But that was like the first age that you remember seeing someone that represented an mm-hmm. LGBTQ
character. Yeah, I honestly want to say that's the only one. Until I, you know, finally grew up more and started watching other shows, but I don't think I remember much of that.
Do you have a group of LGBTQ people that you hang out with?
I mean, it's kind of weird because now, like, in my friend group, you can't throw a rock without hitting a queer or LGBTQ like person. Like, we're all queer in some way, and it's amazing because you feel the support, you feel the love, you just feel accepted for who you are. And I think that's very important to have
mm-hmm.
to just have a support like a support group kind of sense. You know, you're all friends, and you all have different lives, different paths, but like we all are like on the spectrum of sexuality, and so we can all respect every single one of our sexualities, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think it's, yeah, I think it's That's important good. To have a some sort, or I think I do have a supportive group.
That is friends. Good. Are they people of color too?
Yeah. I would say maybe 3 or 4 of us are. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I'm going to need them to come on here too.
Yeah. I'll talk to them.
Yes. Need them to come join me. What would you tell someone? You came out, you were 22. So yeah. What would you tell someone that's 22, still struggling with their sexuality, to help navigate their story, their situation?
It's kind of tough for this question, because we all have different lives.
Right.
We all have completely different lives. We all have, let's say my family, like I said, half is supportive, half is not. The other half, maybe somebody else's is fully supportive, and the other one is just like, no, you can't do that. But I would say, just take your time. Really learn to love yourself. Really learn to accept yourself. And really, I really just focus on yourself. Mm-hmm. I would say I wasn't focusing it enough on my sexuality or who I was as a person growing up until I finally settled down, sit down, and finally sat down with myself and really thought about who I was. And so I really would say just take the time, really accept it, love it, you know. One of the other things is have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I would say have fun with it just because you don't have to like stick to the norms of everything. Dress how you want to dress, you know, do whatever you want to do to your hair kind of thing. Just express yourself.
Yeah.
Have fun, love yourself. And yeah, I think time is the most important one. So I would say.
For sure.
And someone loves you. Someone does love you. Even though it may seem like no one does, someone does, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's a good message. Someone does love you. Like, there will be, and it might not be a family member.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a friend, or maybe even family friend situation.
Yeah.
But there is one person that will bring you in for sure. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Yeah.
All right. That's all the questions that I have for you. I appreciate you coming on here and being vulnerable and telling your story. Especially not being out to everybody. It can be like a scary feeling, so I just appreciate you coming on here. Is there anything that you would like to tell the people watching and listening to this podcast today?
Man, I know everybody hears it. Like, everyone's heard it at least once, but have fun. You only live once. And just love who you love. Love what you love. And yeah. Also, I would say I do appreciate you having me on here.
For sure.
And offering like a safe space for me to be able to share that. I don't honestly think that I've sat down with someone and actually told them my story.
Awesome.
And so I do appreciate this a lot. But yeah, thank you for having me. Thanks. It was good meeting you guys. What is it? Queen Tug. Do you have a name for them?
Queen Tug is going to be the name of the podcast.
No, I mean like the listeners.
You know,
like
what?
Queen Talkians or something. Ooh, I don't know. Queenlings. I'm sorry, that's kind of weird.
I haven't even, you know, you do have to have, the fans do have to have a name, but yeah. I haven't come up with a name. What do you guys want to call yourselves? I don't know, you guys tell me. I don't know, I'll have to think about that one. Alrighty, thank you guys for tuning in to today's podcast. Please, if you have any questions, make sure you click the form. If you're interested in being one of the guests, please check out the form on the website, you guys. Family, friends, strangers, love. Be nice. Yay.
That was good. That was fun. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Good.
I'm sorry.